How many have, anybody who have 20/20 vision? Yeah, I've had some things removed from my eyes and I can see a whole lot better. And, you know, there's something about seeing that is so crucial to living. You know, Catherine Kuhlman, she had a great ministry and she could see in the spirit, call out diseases and sicknesses. I don't want to talk tonight about living by faith and not by sight. You know, Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4:8, "For we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen." You know, one of the purposes of the Word of God and the purposes of the church is to acclimate us from looking at everything in the natural and looking with the eyes of faith to the spirit world and the promises where God has given us. You know, Paul said, if our focus, and I want to do some of these things now, if our focus is just living by sight, let me just say this. Before we were believers, that's all we did. Live by sight. We only lived our life from what we saw. But as a believer, yes, we have to see our car needs repair, but we have to also enter into the eyes of faith. And I want to talk about that tonight. If I live by sight, if I live by what I see only, this is going to happen to me. Number one, I'm going to be very distracted. I'm going to have distractions everywhere because that's all I see. Number two, I'm going to have broken focus. Let me tell you something. Laser beam is nothing if the focus is broken. If I live by sight, I'm going to have my energy drained, man. I mean, you can only watch the news so long and your energy begins to drain. Why? Because we're looking at something with these eyes of the natural. And once I look at something, my mind has to process what I'm looking at. My mind has to use intellect, reasoning, experience, my own moral standard, my own understanding of God, and it begins to process what I see. You know, God doesn't want our whole lives processing what we see. And then another thing about living by sight, it feeds worry, doubt, and fear. Yeah. How about the servant of Elijah when the armies were going to kill him and he said, "Lord, open his eyes up." He saw chariots of fire around the mountain. He was afraid. How about this? If you live by sight, it'll give you unstable emotions. How many would like your emotions a little more stable?
Yeah.
Amen. By a little? Just a little more.
Amen.
Always check if we're really living by faith. I always check. Am I in the faith? Paul said. Jesus said, when I come back on the earth, will I find faith? It's pretty important that we understand it. And I love this statement. Without faith, I cannot see what I'm supposed to see. Let me say it again. Without faith, I cannot see what I'm supposed to see. You see, everything we do as believers is grounded in faith. A trust, a confidence in God. A confidence that this life is not the only part of my existence. There's another life. There's a life of God. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we live by faith, not by sight." Now let's just look at faith a moment. Hebrews 11:1, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the title deed that there's something I can't see with the natural. It's the substance of things. Everybody say things.
Things.
Things hoped for. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, eyes not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things, let me say things again, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. I don't believe He's talking just about a new car here. I don't believe He's just talking about a house here. This is my question, honey. What are those things? I can't see those things with my natural eye. I might see the manifestation of them coming. I've got to see them first through the eyes of faith. What are the things, God, you've prepared? Have I even walked in some of them? Have I walked in 25% of the things you prepared for? Have I walked in salvation, but after that I've not walked in the things you have for me? Wow. And if you read all of Hebrews 11, you'll see it's by faith, by faith, by faith they obtain, by faith they overcome, by faith. One of our problems is we think we got all the things God has for us. But Paul said that's not true. You haven't seen some of the things yet God wants to do with you. Through you. And it's not just getting a new car. See, there's three realms. It's the supernatural realm. That's where Paul says you got to see. God gave us eyes to see in the natural realm. And the third is the practical realm. And sometimes we just kind of capsulize our faith just for the practical and the natural realm. If I can just pay my bills, if I can just feed my family. But Jesus said, if you seek first my kingdom, those things will be added. But that's not the only thing. That's not the only reason we're here. He said the heathen do that. The heathen take their family out. The heathen get new cars. The heathen go to the grocery store. But they don't seek me. So although I'm merciful and I've provided the natural things for them, they cannot get the supernatural or the divine things for them because I'm the source, and if they're not seeking me, they can't have from the source. There are things in God we are not walking. There are things in God He wants to give us this year. There are things in your life that have never come forward yet. Not your fault. God's just preparing us. You see, sometimes you've got to go through the dark to get to the light. And sometimes you've got to go through the pain till you get to the joy. But see, God never wastes anything. He didn't waste the desert for Moses. And sometimes you got to go through the desert to get to the burning bush. Amen. And once you get to the burning bush, when you begin to feel God moving, Moses turned aside. And once Moses turned aside, his life turned around. And a lot of believers in the wilderness don't pass the test. They don't get to the burning bush, and their life never changes. Who am I talking to? Amen. Because God said in Deuteronomy 4, I led you through the wilderness to prove what was in your hearts. And when I don't complain, and I whatever negativity, if I don't do that, I'll get to the burning bush 40 years later, and my whole life will change. You see, we got too many folks still wearing the shoes of the wilderness. God said to Moses, take them off, Moses. Because where you walk for 40 years, you're not walking that way again.
Amen.
You know, they've actually found out, they've actually proven cases, homicide and other things, by looking at people's shoes. Because your shoes tell you where you've been. See, the eyes of faith say, I'm not going to do this the same way, God. There's got to be more, God. And we talk about what the fire of God is, and I'm on fire for God. Let me tell you what I'm getting on fire for God is. It's not just a high-end worship service. It's a passionate knowing, a passion that God has more for me. And because I love you, I want everything you have for me, you see. You got to get rid of them shoes. Turn to somebody and say, get rid of them shoes.
Get rid of them shoes.
Shoes of doubt, shoes of, well, no one loves me, I've been hurt, shoes of disappointment. That's the wilderness. But if you'll turn aside to God, see, we saw the fire in the bush, and he felt the warmth of the fire, and he turned. And see, when you're a worship service, you feel the warmth of God. Start turning and looking with the eyes of faith. Amen. What things, Paul said? I'm asking Paul. He said the things God's prepared for us. What are those things? Interesting Greek word. The definition, really, if you transliterate it, means things other than you have now. He said, I've not seen, this eye's not seen, if your ear hasn't heard it, the things, in other words, things you don't have now have not even entered into your heart, but they're already prepared. Everybody say prepared. How many ladies you prepare your meals? Don't you? Take the thing off, put it in the microwave, it's prepared. Hallelujah, amen. Preparation is everything. People wonder why, you know, God doesn't save you one day and put you in full-time ministry the next day. You're not prepared. I said you're not prepared.
Amen.
He knows the time and the season. You don't get out of God's time, wait for a season. How long do you wait? You wait, wait, then you wait again. But God knows what he's doing. God's got a watch with your name on it, and he knows what he's doing. Don't ever question God's timing. If your God isn't big enough to invade your life in 24 hours, then he's not the God you should be serving. God can change things in a second. Move it around. Give you pain. Open up doors. Do things just like that. It is timing. What things, Paul, are you talking about? That I don't have now, but I got to see with faith. I'll talk about a few. Things hoped for. Acts 22:10, and he said, this is God's talking to prophet here to go. And he said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go to Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all the things you're appointed to do. Everybody say, appointed. One of the things we don't know is all the things we're appointed to do. I said, all the things we're appointed to do. Appointment means God made an appointment with those things. And God said, if you'll live by faith, not by carnal reasoning, the time will come. Well, I will make sure you keep your appointment. How many want to keep your appointment with God with the things that he gave you? I'll just say there's not every believer and everyone that comes to church has that type of mandate or that type of understanding. That God is not up there kind of wondering, well, maybe I'll do this year for you. Let me think. No, he has an appointment for each one of us. Whether I keep the appointment is another thing. Whether I keep the appointment, well, how do I know if I'm going to keep the appointment? The only way is God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. My gift will not keep the appointment.
Right.
Not even being anointed doesn't mean I could be anointed this year, next year, miss his appointment because he might have changed the anointing or influenced a different way in my life. Go there, it's going to be told you all things which are appointed for you to do. How many believe we're stewards?
Amen.
We are stewards.
Amen.
It's not just doing, it's being and doing, but Paul said, they're prepared for it. That means I have a prepare. I don't have to prepare. I have to meet the appointment. I don't have to be God. Aren't you? You know, one of the biggest things for a believer to come to a maturity is to realize, I don't have to be God. I don't have to play God. I don't have to figure out everything. I just have to pray for his will to be done. He has the obligation to bring his will if I pray it and I stay and don't complain of the desert. He will do that for us. That's why it's so magnificent. That's why Paul said, listen, I labored more than all the other apostles, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. You see, God's grace is able to take us to that prepared place. And there ain't no like place. God's prepared. Jesus even said, listen, you got to look through the eyes of faith. There's a preparation going to heaven when you get there. But until you get there, I need you on this earth to do your assignment. How about this one? 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. You need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth and is no lie, even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him. He says, you know, eyes not seen, ears not heard, the things. He said, listen, you have an anointing in you. You have a Spirit of God in you that's going to teach you what is true. But with that, there's the truth of abiding with him and in him. Right. It's very impossible to learn scripture and learn theology and learn doctrine, but not apply it to the eyes of faith that causes me to keep developing my personal walk with God. That's very dangerous because we can become Bible thumpers and throw scriptures. But you know what? A person that's a Bible thumper, I doubt very much they've been in the secret place a lot. Because in the secret place, God melts our hearts.
Amen.
Oh, you know, God shows us that we're not quite there yet. And that my opinions is still important to me. And getting my feelings hurt is so important. You see, in the secret place, he begins to melt our hearts with love. And we can be 40, 50, 60, 70, and still dealing with childhood insecurities. Well, just hearing a preacher preaching or laying your hands on someone, yeah, it's going to help. But when you're with the one and learning of him and sitting at his feet, the good part, Jesus said, that thing will not be taken away. Mm-hmm. Church needs now just not another sermon. We need someone coming out of a secret place and God just revealed something to me about himself. Amen. Not for anybody, just for me. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things, let me say things, are for your sakes. That the abundance of grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, rebound to the glory of God. All things are for your sakes. How many know all things work together?
Right.
We're good.
Amen.
Those that love the Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Some of those things I don't like.
That's right.
Some of those things, I wish the chariot would come take me home. Some of the things I don't want to repeat, honey. And I pray to God I've learned whatever I need to learn. Some things I don't want to go through again. Am I the only one here tonight?
Amen.
Help me to learn my lesson here. Doesn't mean that God said it. God allowed it. We're on this earth with this tribulation. Help me to be wiser in my choices. All things are for your sake. Why? So you can have abundant grace. How does it come? In the thanksgiving of my heart, which brings glory to God. All things. You and I can't figure out everything that happens in our life. We can't figure out how people act, how people treated you, how what people said. We can't figure that out. We can't figure out how the world's all fighting, divided, just being divided, hatred. I can't figure it out. I don't have to figure it out. I just have to trust God that he's in charge. And now you know what? According to my Bible, God has the final say.
All right.
Nobody's going to get away with nothing on this earth. That's why he said, don't. Vengeance is mine. Don't you go out and be vengeful. He said, I got, ain't nobody going to get away with it. People have been murdered, whatever, and gotten free. It don't matter. God knows it's the truth. They should have repented then, but you stand before the judge. Can't repent then.
That's right.
All things are for your sake. About this, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these, what? things will be added. See, we focus on that, so we kind of just think that it's natural things. Clothes, a car, and a house. Well, he did include that in our faith form. But if that's all I do, I'll become a Christian that kind of looks at God as a Santa Claus.
Right.
Sloppy shit. And I really don't know, I won't really understand if there's a spiritual realm. My assignment, my destiny, my steps that are ordered, understanding about things present and things in the future that I'll never get to if I don't seek first the kingdom of God.
Right.
You should be at prayer time, prayer night, pre-service prayer, pray with alone, but pray with the house of God. I want to tell you something, if we ever need to seek together God, it's now.
Right.
I'll say it again. We need to seek God together.
Amen.
These things will be added. How many like stuff when it's added to you?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Haven't you had enough years of things being subtracted?
Amen.
I wasn't addition. Amen. In my life. He said, I'm going to add it to you by seeking the kingdom. Now, I like this, 2 Timothy 1:14. That good thing which is committed unto you by the Holy Ghost, keep. By the Holy Ghost which dwells in us. Everybody say good thing.
Good thing.
It's a good thing. He's talking about his destiny. That good thing, that spiritual placement, that inheritance, that good thing was committed to you. God is looking for a people he can trust. How can God trust us? By giving us a little and see what we do. Despise not the days of small beginnings.
Right.
And when you're in a feast, take the lower seats. You see, he that's faithful in little. God's committed to each one of us a spiritual inheritance. He's committed to us his own people. How we treat each other. How we talk about each other. God's committed, and he said it's a good thing. How many know it's a good thing to be around your brothers and sisters?
Amen.
Poor people. How many know it's a good thing
Amen.
To be around?
Amen.
And you know why some people don't think it's a good thing? Because their nose is too long. I said their nose is too long. Their nose, Chris. Their nose. And instead of embracing the other nose, y'all know it's true. Well, I just thought all Christians, I didn't know any Christians were nosy. Yeah, they are nosy. But you can't love somebody and be nosy. Bible says, mind your own business.
Mm.
Right.
You don't hear this priest on television. You don't preach this. Mind your own business.
Right.
My business is not to be nosy. No. My business is love.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
It's loving somebody that has faults, but I've got more faults. But I want them to love me. And you know, that old nose is not only nosy. I ain't gonna be in the pretend game. What you see is what you get. What you see here is who I am behind the TV playing my ship games. I ain't gonna be. I don't put on no face front when I come into God. This is who it is. And you know what? That's what God wants. No pretend. Amen.
Amen.
That good thing is kept by the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. Because see, if he wasn't in us, we wouldn't keep it.
That's right.
Our strength and our will, our determination gets worn thin, discouraged, the devil beats you up. We wouldn't keep it. We'd say, Listen, many will depart from the faith in the last days. Demas has forsaken. It's the Holy Spirit that comes back and says, no, keep that thing. Keep that vision. Don't give up. I started the work. I'm going to finish the work. Yeah. It's not just me rising up and being strong in my will. It's the Spirit of God with resurrection power. So don't quit, David. Go back to Ziklag. Go get your wife. Don't quit, Joshua, when Achan lied and stole money and they got beat. Don't stop, Paul. Don't stop. God's committed to you the gospel, to the Gentiles and writing the Bible. Don't stop. It wasn't just Paul's determination. It was the Holy Spirit in him. That's why he's writing this. Time you're gonna come to church, you're not full of faith and praising God and got your stereo up in your car. I'm an overcomer. Sometimes you come and you feel like you've been run over. I hope I've talked some real things.
Amen.
You think every time I mount this pulpit, I'm on top of the mountain? No. Sometimes I'm preaching out of the valley.
Right.
And sometimes we have to live. But you know what? When I pass through the valley, there might be a shadow, but I might have to go through the dark to get to the light.
Amen.
I might have to go through the bad to get to the good.
Right.
The whole earth started off in Genesis. Darkness was upon the deep, but the dark couldn't stop when the light came. And when I let God adjust how I react to everything from my natural eyes and give me the eyes of faith, this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You see, the eyes of faith ask, and they wait. And many times, believers are discouraged because they've asked and haven't received. Then wait. I love Donnie McClurkin's song. I listen to it hundreds of times. Stay. Tell me, listen to that song. If you have it, you need to go get it and download it. Spot.stand. I mean, I listen to that. And you see, how do you stand? You stand by faith. I'm not ignoring the natural things I see with my eyes, but they no longer have a place in my heart. Because if you don't, you'll be double-minded and you'll be unstable. And when you get with a group of people, even believers, it's not about Jesus, it's about how bad things are. What's wrong in the church? This will be. That's not faith. I want God to look down at Bill and say, there's no faith. Perfect now. Could it be a little thinner? Yeah. But I want to see a person of faith. How about you?
Amen.
But the words of my mouth, the places of my heart, are sin. You can't have. You can't walk by faith by sight and say the wrong thing.
Right.
You're different. If you're upset or whatever, lock that baby up. Put it in the shower. Put a Dunkin' in a drink. And say, if you don't have money, come on, get my gift card. Yeah. Say, I thought I'd get a free drink, so whatever. David said, the anger was inside of me, and then I opened up my lips. David admitted he spoke one time. Then he goes, Lord, teach me to, God, help me to remember my days on this earth, not to do that nonsense. People everywhere are angry. Everywhere, feeling sense. You know, you can sense hate in a person, not in a person. And you can sense love in a person. My judgment says something. Other people, hey, you know. Because hate is not only an attitude, it's a matter of the heart. And so is love. So if love consumes me, it comes out all of my pores. If hate consumes me, it comes out of my pores. That good thing which was committed unto you by the Holy Spirit dwells in us. fight of faith, folks, is not a fight against the devil. The fight of faith is fighting against what I see in my natural eyes, letting it dictate to me more than what I can see in the Word in my spiritual eyes. Then I use the armor of God. I'm not fighting the devil for my faith. I'm fighting me to shape up. The fight of faith is I'm fighting the part of me that responds and reacts to what I see. Am I the only one? How can we beat the devil up if I've not won the battle with me? That everything I see, I react, I worry, I do, I cry, I get upset, I can't sleep. Well, I'm not walking by faith.
That's right.
Who hasn't? Listen. Thank God for the Holy Spirit as I close it. Well within us, He brings us back. And I love when I'm real with the Holy Spirit, He's real with me. We got to get to the place where we're allowing the Holy Spirit to say, I struck out on that. Because He won't condemn us. The reason you struck out, because you haven't been in a disciplined life practicing the presence of God.
That's right.
So missing practices cost you the edge you needed to win. The relationship with Jesus is first. A relationship with His Word, His Spirit, and a relationship with His people. Your marriage and your family, children. Then the loss. The loss is not before your family and children. I've known too many shipwrecks where evangelist pastors thought they had to save the whole world and they get papers in the mail, divorce from their wife, not being around. The eyes of faith will show us, get away from the rocks. Eyes of faith will guide us. We need each other.
Amen.
I said we need each other.
Amen.
We need every believer in the world. We need every preacher, evangelist, teacher.
Right. Right.
Nobody's got the whole. I don't care how many thousands of people or millions they speak to one Sunday, they don't have the whole. They've got problems. They've got to put the garbage out like us.
Right.
Thank God for that anointing. Thank God they're reaching. But we need each one of us to contribute something good. Let's walk by faith, not by sight, not by emotion, but by the love of God. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight. Help us then fight a faith in ourselves. That the carnal reasoning, the appetites, the habits of the flesh don't dominate our ability to be quiet before You, wait before You, be transparent in Your presence. Help us, Lord. Closing moments before Your coming, help us to be without spot or wrinkle. Help us to be so united, so unified. No one can break through the wall. No one can break through the front line. Lord, that quarterback can throw the pass and we can win the game. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everyone said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Give the Lord a hand.